Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Sense with Alistair Milroy, Breaking the Mold Accounting, right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host. How are you, Alistair?
I'm good, Rhea. How are you?
Good. Well, kind of missed you. You've been off doing your own thing for the last little while.
Yeah, I've had a couple of trips. I've been back and forth from the UK and Guernsey and, yeah, visiting different people, so it's been great to get out and about and have some face-to-face meetings.
Well, and you've also been doing your own interviews lately, so
that's true. Yeah, you let me off the leash, so to speak, and it's been great. I think it's been good to get those interests from different businesses and different perspectives, and yeah, hopefully listeners have found that useful to have those different perspectives from outside yachting in some cases.
Well, I've got to say to all the listeners out there and viewers out there, please do get a hold of Alistair, because I really enjoyed the fact that I didn't have to co-host or host another show. It was lovely to actually have you hosting and doing your thing. So please do get a hold of Alistair if you want to be a guest on a show. We'll provide all of the details underneath this interview when it airs. And I'm sure that Alistair would be more than happy to host you, as long as it has something to do with money.
Yeah, money and accounting and how you can make your business more efficient. That's really what I'm passionate about.
Yes. Well, me too. But the dollars and cents part of it just bore me to death. But I mean, that's because I'm not, it takes all kinds of people, right, to make the world go round. And I'm just one of those people that I prefer to do the creative stuff and talk to people and tell their stories. And I rather leave all of the other stuff to someone like you, so which is why you have an accountant. I wanted to talk. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's just really important point there, though, because the key of this, we all talk about, or you hear often hear people say, "I didn't start my business to make money. I started it for, so I could do something good in the world or do." But actually, yeah, and that's great. I think people have to have, and connecting to that vision is really, really important for any business to have. But as a business, if you don't make profit, you're not going to be able to deliver the other things. And I think that's where the accounting side is so important. It is, if you want to realize those visions and do, spread that whatever positive influence you're going to have or impact you're going to have on your industry in the world, you've got to be profitable. Lot easier to deliver.
You've got to eat, you've got to pay rent, you've got to pay electricity, you've got to pay the internet. Yeah. I mean, all those things cost money for sure.
Yeah. So that's great.
Right. Well, today I wanted to talk to you about charitable donations. Now, we're all looking for ways to, I'm being cynical. We all want to do our part for the world. But one way to help with your taxes in general is charitable donations, is it not? What is the definition of a charitable donation when it comes to your taxes?
Well, firstly, if you've got an issue with paying tax, it's a good thing in your business, because it means you're making a profit. And if you're making a profit, then yes, you're making tax, but you've got to remember you're paying, 20, 30 cents of every pound profit you make in tax. And I'm not talking income, I'm talking your actual bottom line profit after you've taken your revenue less all your expenses. You're left with your profit, and some of that's going to go to tax. Now, we want to minimize, you want to plan for that and not pay more tax than you have to, and I think that's fair. Every business should do that. There's, if it's very easy to overpay tax by missing things that you're legitimately allowed to claim. So having this problem is good, but I also think there's a lot of companies now with sustainability and sort of corporate social responsibility policies, and that's becoming much more expected in terms of engaging even employees in what you're trying to achieve and what you want to achieve in your business, that actually having a cause that you want to donate to is a really important part of that and fulfilling that. So normally a charitable donation is paid to in most countries there's a charity has to be registered, and that registration gives you some confidence that it's being managed, it's got a, its governance structure is correct, so it's got you know, a proper board of directors, it's got policies in place, it's, you know that the money you're donating to it is being used for the purposes that it's set up for. So yeah, it's important, and therefore to get a tax deduction for, normally you have to make a payment or a donation to a charitable organization which is registered as such in whatever country it is. And of course, I think also generally you can, it probably has to be registered in the country where you're paying tax.
Let me ask you, I mean, all the feel good stuff aside, and you know, we're donating to this charity, blah, blah, blah. Is there a benefit to donating to charity, or does it actually come out in the wash pretty much the same? So you've got to pay XX amount of taxes, or I will give XX amount of charity and claim it. Is there like an equal balance out, generally speaking, when you give to charity?
Yeah, in terms of the way it works generally is you're allowed a tax deduction for whatever you give to charity. So if you pay a pound to charity out of your, you, that pound will be deductible from your tax bill. So you are, in terms of your income, you're still, or your profit, you're paying tax at 20%. You're able to reduce that tax payable by every pound you donate.
So it basically comes out square, essentially, whether you give the money to the government or you give the money to the charity.
Yeah. You're just not having to pay tax on, if you pay it to a registered charity, you're then, your tax bill's reducing, but you still got that cash flow going out. And a lot of companies now do this. Some of the software that I use for proposals, for instance, allows you to actually set up a charitable donation as part of your onboarding of a new client. So you can actually talk to the client about it and say, look, you know, out of your fee, we are going to donate so much to whatever cause it might be. And there might be a selection of cause that, so the client can have some input into that. But that's a way a lot of firms are now incorporating that.
So then who gets to claim that on taxes, the client or you?
No, the business would, because it's saying, look, we'll donate out of our fee, we'll donate so much to that cause. So it's definitely, and there's I'm trying to think of the name now. There's B2G, is it B? I'll maybe put the link on afterwards, but that's another, you know, company that has come a long way recently in terms of offering ways for companies to give back as part of their.
And around the world, I mean, I would assume that around the world, there are different countries that have a different standard of what a charity is, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think each country has its own registration or residence. I'm not sure in places like the Middle, in the Middle East, how that works in terms of, because your Islamic law can be quite different in terms of, in things like interest and charity. So how those are set up in those sort of, in different cultures is probably different, but certainly in most Western economies and jurisdictions, from the UK, US, etc., Australia, you'll have charities set up that can be registered, and you can donate to them. And you then get a tax deduction for that.
Now, say, for example, you are, there's somebody needs help with healthcare. That is something you can't deduct. That is just something that you're doing out of the goodness of your heart. There is no tax deduction as a result of that.
Yeah, that would be the case. And I think some on platforms such as Just Giving and some of those more fundraising things, you probably have to look at each cause and determine whether it's tax deductible or not.
So I guess that would probably fall under philanthropy as opposed to charity.
Yeah.
So you're just literally
still
giving away.
You're still
money.
Doing good for someone, but you're not going to necessarily get the tax. It's not being driven by getting a tax deduction for it.
Well, that's interesting, because
a lot of companies now donate time, and in the local community, a lot of companies encourage staff or give staff a few days you know, where they can go out and help with, you know, help paint someone's house or help people who can't do it themselves look after their garden, whatever that may be. There's, you know, which is part of you just recognizing that you're giving back to the community you're working in.
Well, for you, Alistair, where especially do you sort of specialize in as far as accounting goes then?
In terms of my special, I mean, in terms of my firm and my practice, I mean, from a tax point of view, I'm a UK, you know, my qualifications are Australian and UK, but I have a practice certificate in the UK. And I'm regulated because I'm based in Guernsey. I'm regulated in Guernsey for things like money laundering, etc. So from a tax perspective, you know, for business tax, very much be UK. From a sort of being a CFO or virtual, you know, being able to work with businesses, I think from a more, how can you improve your business performance? You know, that I could work for across most countries because, you know, the dynamics of improving your cash flow or looking at where your revenue can improve or how you can manage your costs better or setting up a budget, you know, are fairly similar whichever country you're in.
Well, I guess the reason I ask you that is if a company has questions in regards to charities that are actual registered charities and charities that they can actually claim in their country where they claim taxes, can they get a hold of you and get that information?
Yeah, sure. I'd be certain. Yeah, they can get hold of it and probably look up the right areas or talk to someone. I mean, most people have, you know, if you're a Spanish company, you're probably going to have someone looking after your Spanish taxes, and you know, those accountants will know what to do. But yeah, if it's setting up, how can you formalize that as a part of a sort of sustainability or corporate response and social responsibility? Yeah, that's something we could look at. And I think the other area of this that is we're going to see more of is around sustainability, and there's more accounting standards coming and being formalized at the moment about how green initiatives particularly are reported from a financial point of view. And I think there's going to be more formal there. And I don't think there is definitely in the frameworks in the US and the most markets, financial frameworks of how you're going to have to report what you do in that space.
Well, and this is something we're going to be talking about next week, actually, carbon offset, it seems to be the big thing right now. And different countries have different rules. So I think this is something we're going to sort of highlight next week, because it is becoming a big thing across social media that everybody's talking about offsetting their carbon footprint, because, you know, especially in yachting, you see people are flying like, you know, every week they're flying 10 flights, you know?
Yeah, there's the carbon offset point of that, but I think even more than that, there's the various bodies or governments and accounting bodies looking at actually how do we measure the financial impact of how green or not green a business is. And it's that and actually disclosing that in your financial statements is something that's, you know, coming in the next couple of years. And we're seeing the EU, you know, the EU's bringing out more, you know, a charge for the carbon emissions in when you bring a yacht in, that's also coming. But I think having that framework around how a company measures that and how it's going to have to report that in its financial statements, is definitely an area that we can talk about next week.
That's why I stay at home. I never leave the house. That way I don't have to pay taxes on anything, you know, outside of the house.
Well, I can see why private flights are doing so well. You know, the private aviation industry is doing so well at the moment, because, you know, it is really tough traveling commercially at the moment. There is, you know, the disruption, etc. is it's not a pleasant experience. And actually, you know, if you look at the cost of chartering, you know, or shared charters, it's actually, you know, the cost of commercial airlines has gone up. Some of the tickets that I've just had to get recently have been, you know, the days of very cheap travel have seemed to have fast disappeared.
Well, I'm telling you, if you plan any travel at all this summer, there are strikes coming galore, not just the airports that are stranded without enough crew or without enough employees, but I mean, the airlines themselves are canceling flights left, right, and center. And yeah, crew are planning on going on strike, you know, one airline after another and one country after another. So air travel is definitely going to be hard this year.
Yeah, that's certainly been my experience over the last month. It's, you're pretty much 100%. You know, there's been some issue with either onward travel or flight cancellations or missing flights because of delays, because there's not enough staff.
Well, it's going to get better, Alistair. It's going to get better.
In a bad way.
Sorry. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but we are looking at severe disruptions in travel this coming summer. So if you have a chance to co-charter an airplane, I would take it.
I've seen some, you know, some UK to Ibiza two seats for £1,500, you know, pounds each, or even I've seen, you know, Nice from the UK for £500 on a shared jet type of, which actually is, you know, that's the sort of price that you're looking at a commercial ticket now. And to have that ability of knowing that you're flying in and out and it's, you know, you're avoiding that, the queues and et cetera, is, you know, it's, if you sort of put in your own time to the airport and out, and then the flexibility that gives it, it starts making a lot of sense commercially.
Right. Well, Alistair, I have to say thank you. And I am looking forward to next week.
So, Maria, thanks for having me on, and it's good to see you again.
Yeah, you as well. Hopefully soon we're going to have a few more guests that you get to grill.
Yeah, I'll put my thinking cap on, and we'll get some more interviews lined up so I can give you a bit of a rest.
Nice. Right, if you have any questions for Alistair, or you're interested in his services or want to know more about him and his services, all the information is below this interview when it airs. You have been watching another edition of Talking Sense with Alistair Milroy of Breaking the Mold Accounting. My name is Rio. I have been your co-host. We'll see you again next week.